I'd like just to pray before we speak. It'd be good to speak to the Lord before I speak to you, before I speak to myself. Father, it's just such a wonderful thing to be members of your body, saved men and women, worshipping men and women. Lord, you have done amazing things. You've opened our eyes. You've caused us to see truth in the person of our Lord Jesus. And we want to worship you and thank you and love you. We thank you for this book that we hold in our hands, most treasured possession that we have. We pray for the illumination and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as we do look at it so this morning. Touch our hearts and speak your word and edify us. Build us up in our most holy faith that we may, Lord, more faithfully reflect your glory and your great person. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a New Testament with you, I'd like you to turn into the book of Ephesians, please, into chapter 3. And I want to continue just to make some comments from this chapter, possibly others, about the work of the Holy Spirit. And I've done that for several times now when I've spoken in this particular book, just briefly, a new theme each time. This is Paul writing in verse 1 of chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. These are amazing things. And partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship or the stewardship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, and some of you may remember that from Friday night at Quinta, the manifold, the multicolored, kaleidoscopic wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. What an amazing section of scripture that is. Oh dear, how does one comment upon it in a manner that is helpful? I'd like you to see that the work of the Spirit here in verse 3 and verse 5, the work of the Spirit is to bring revelation to our hearts, a revelation of God, a revelation of the person of God, a revelation of the truth and of the gospel of God. And here Paul is opening up some incredible truth that has been hidden, he says, from before the very beginning of the world. Before the world was, God had planned and purposed in his amazing grace to have a people who would begin to be his people and who would be worshippers of him, and through whom he would work out his purposes and his economy in the world that he had created. And Paul says that this had been hidden all down through the generation. It had not been expressed. It had not been understood. It had not been seen. And even so, the God actually went, and as you know, he chose a people that would be his. And they were one small group of people, one nation among all the nations. But that wasn't really his purpose. His purpose was that he should include all mankind, that he should draw from his people from his people that he created, a people that would respond to him and become his own people. So it wasn't just Jews, but it was Jews and Gentiles. That is, Gentiles, all the other nations of the world, were going to be called into this glorious relationship with Jesus Christ by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know how that affects you or how it affects me, but this is what I sense here, that Paul is trying to help us to understand that this has been a mystery that has been hidden down through the generations, but now, he says, is made known to us. I don't know whether you've ever reflected on that. I've tried to reflect on that over recent weeks as I've been thinking about this particular book. It seems to me an amazing thing that God has somehow got a small group of people here that are part of a bigger group you could think of in the world. And he has revealed, he's opened our eyes to see truth that has been hidden from the very beginning of the world. And when Paul talks about here, there is a mystery, he's not talking about something that is shut up and hidden and a bit esoteric. He's talking about something that has been made known, something that has been revealed, something that has been expressed so that all men everywhere could become partakers of this, that all of us could have the opportunity of being part of the family of God, the people of God, the people whom he would hold for himself all down through the generations. And that people group, that new people, you remember that we talked some weeks ago now about the people of God as revealed in the earlier chapter, chapter 2 of Ephesians, that there he describes two people group, the Jews and the Gentiles, being made one in Christ. So there are Jews in the world, there are Gentiles in the world, and there is the Church of Jesus Christ in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And through the manifestation, through the unveiling of the Church of Jesus Christ, there's going to be made known to the principalities and powers that operate in our world system, they are going to be made known to all men everywhere by the people of God called the Church. We have the privilege of expressing the purposes of God that have been locked up and hidden away from all the generations. But now, since Calvary and Jesus dying and paying the price and buying for himself a people, and for those people being revealed and having the Holy Spirit imparted to them, their eyes have been opened and they're able to represent, to speak to the principalities and powers in the name of Christ. What an incredible thing that really is. And you know, the only thing that we ever really know are things that we know by revelation. This is why the work of the Holy Spirit is in our lives is so important. Because it's the Holy Spirit who opens all of our eyes to see truth as it is in Jesus. To see truth as it is in Scripture. Because this isn't just a book, is it, that we read together. This is amazingly the living word of God, that when we read it, when we expose our hearts and our minds to it and think about it, it comes alive. It should do. It should for all of us come alive in our hearts as we think about the things that Paul is saying here. And of course, all the other places in Scripture too. His desire, he says, was that he should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable, the indescribable, the amazing riches of Christ. The purpose of us coming together to worship him, the purpose for us to read the word of God and to pray together is that we may have a greater understanding and appreciation of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to the intent now that kaleidoscopic, multicolored wisdom of God might be made known by the church to every principality and power that ever has controlled our world, that has been destroyed by the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. This is part of the eternal and unchanging purpose of God. You just keep your finger there and turn back for a moment to the very first chapter of Ephesians. Paul prays like this. After I heard of your faith, this is verse 15. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Here it is, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. There in verse 17 it says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the Spirit, but it actually is a Spirit. It's an indefinite article, and it's a small s. So it's not referring particularly to the Holy Spirit. It's referring to every man and woman born of the Spirit of God in relationship with Jesus Christ, who should be cultivating by the work of the Holy Spirit a spirit in themselves of whereby they can receive all that Christ is saying and giving and wanting them to have. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is poured out and is available for every one of us. The Holy Spirit should be known and received by all of us so that we know how to walk in the ways of God. We are taught by our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And here Paul is praying that these dear people may have a spirit of wisdom. That is, they may have a softening in their heart towards the things of God. They may have an attitude by which they can receive the things that God is revealing. One of the great statements of the New Covenant is that every man and woman in right relationship with God through justification by faith in him, by being put in right standing with God, and by receiving the Holy Spirit, every one of us has the privilege of being taught by God himself. The Holy Spirit teaches each and every one of us. It's one of the great fundamental statements of the New Covenant. New Covenant refers to lots of different things, but that's one of the great outcomes and purposes of God in bringing us into a New Covenant, that every one of us should have the privilege of being taught by God himself. Now, that doesn't mean to say that we can go off on some kind of track on our own and God's teaching me and showing me this, that, and t'other, and so on. There's a danger in doing that. But we're understanding at this point that we're learning along with everybody else. We're all walking the same path. We're all on the same journey. But we have the unique privilege of having a relationship with God directly for ourselves, not dependent upon other people. Again, we have to keep balancing these caveats, don't we? God doesn't want us to go on to some sort of path that is unhelpful to us, or somehow we've got things wrong in our thinking. We have to be accountable to the work of the Holy Spirit, and we have to be accountable to one another as we will walk along this road that God has given us. But it's an amazing thing that we can be promised by God himself that we can know him for ourselves. We can be taught by God himself. Perhaps I can show you, or just give you one other thing to think about. When they were in the upper room, Jesus was talking to his disciples just before he went to Calvary. You remember that he said to them that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was going to be in the place of Jesus. Jesus said that it was absolutely necessary and indeed advantageous to his disciples that he should go away. Which you think is a very strange thing for Jesus to say to this group of men that had been with him for 3 years and had been taught by him. But of course, what Jesus was saying was that he was explaining to them that there was going to be a new dimension by which they would know him. They would no longer know him just as a man, say just, as a man in human flesh, limited by time and space, but that he was also going to come to them in a new form. He was going to come to them in the person of the Holy Spirit. And he said that this was actually going to be advantageous to them. This was because each of them was going to be taught by Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit, for himself. We're not going to be dependent upon one another. You remember that in the resurrection, in the days of the resurrection, Jesus was I think we'll just pray. Father, it's so wonderful that you have blessed us so greatly to have opened our eyes to see the truth as it is in Jesus and to be able, Lord, to know the presence of your wonderful Spirit in our hearts. We're so grateful, Lord, that you have given this amazing privilege to us. Lord, we want to open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit. We want you to cultivate in each and every one of us a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may learn from you personally. Lord, these things bring our thoughts, our minds, to a sense of humility at the greatness of what you have done, Lord. And that through your church, we have the privilege of representing you to the nations, to men and women in Wirral, to those in our families, communities, to principalities and powers. How wonderful you are, Lord. We pray that you help each and every one of us to glorify your name. Fill us again, Lord, with your Spirit. Come upon us. Increase within us. Pour out through us, Lord. We do pray. We lay our lives before you. We worship you together. In Jesus' name, amen.